Blog Talk Radio.
Just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end time.
as Messiah predicted. And so we have to understand the times of the Gentiles. And so we want to get in on that, get into this theory. And I'm using a document that has a lot of historical facts in it. And so we're going to be going between that and scripture. And, you know, we're going to take our time and walk through this thing see if we can determine the exact time from scripture as to when the times of the Gentiles comes to an end. Because the times of the Gentiles, you know, Jerusalem is supposed to be trodden underfoot until the times of the Gentiles comes to an end. Okay, and then Messiah is supposed to return. Somewhere in between that time, the door to the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to close, the Ark of the New Covenant. And salvation will be turned off for mankind. To the door will be closed, and judgment will come. And judgment will start, you know, and it won't be any warning to it. So that is what we are endeavoring to establish and find out. And hopefully we will be able to do this over, you know, a series of a few lessons. As I said, I don't have a number yet. We do want to make sure that these are archived for future study. I pray that the Most High speak through me as we endeavor into this particular study, because this is going to be critical to what we are doing as far as the Most High is telling us to do as far as work, and, you know, what we're doing on the land, our outreach to the nation, so forth and so on. So I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, everybody that's on the internet in general, wherever you may be. Whether you're in North America, or whether you're in South America, whether you are on the internet in general, whether you are in Africa, the continent of Africa, whether you're in the Middle East, whether you're in the Far East, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. As we endeavor to go through this series, we pray that the Most High removes scales and opens deaf ears, that the people are receptive to this teaching and this understanding, because it is critical to our walk and our action, okay? And that to those who ever the Most High shall call, that he would also give them an opportunity to be pointed at these lessons, as many as he would have to hear it, that they would come to him and repent of their sins and turn from their wicked way. One of the things that I got, you know, as I've been studying this, I don't believe the Antichrist is a Gentile. And so as we go through this, I will point this out. I believe he's a Hebrew. Okay, because he is supposed to forsake the God of his fathers and not listen to, you know, not and worship a God that his fathers didn't know. That term is only ever used of Israel. It's never used for, you know, a Gentile. So there's some things that, you know, the Most High is opening up to my understanding in this, and I pray that he opens, you know, other people's eyes and ears, and he allows the scales to fall and ears to be unplugged, because there's a lot of teachings out here that are pointing towards certain things that may not be true. Okay, so as I said, as I've been studying and going before the Most High and reading these things, I'm seeing some other things that I have not seen before, you know, and we really need to study the entire book of Daniel, the entire book of Daniel, because Daniel was given through Nebuchadnezzar and through the Most High a vision of the entire times of the Gentiles, the entire, you know, all the kingdoms and what would happen and what happened. So I actually read the entire book of Daniel this morning and, you know, looking for certain things, and we'll get into those things over time. But we really need to understand the closing of the ark, because the Most High Messiah said that this would come without warning. Yet he gives us, you know, some things in the scriptures that we can go by. He says, those that have understanding will understand, but the wicked will not understand this. And so, you know, we got to pray for the Most High that he give us the understanding that we are walking in his way. So that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their head. Any men listening, uncover your head. Let us turn toward the east, toward the rising of the sun, as we go before the Most High on this morning. Let us start with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be and directed by the Spirit of God, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of God, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of God, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today, for truly he is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Glory and honor and praise be given to you, O Yah Elohim. For you are our Elohim, and another will be not bow down to or worship. Another will we not give our adoration to, but you and you alone, O Father, you are the great I am. From glory to glory, you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah to you. All glory and all honor and all praise belong to you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for health and strength. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Father. Glory, 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 glory to you and to you alone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. We just magnify you on today. We extol thee and we lift thee up. You and you alone are worthy. You and you alone are good. And we bow down and honor you on this your day. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. So, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sin, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, hear our supplications and our prayers. Deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you would wake them and give them an unction to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commands. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you would give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you would call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, obey, and come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commands. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And our scriptures for this morning, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8, the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And we will personalize this. This is what we need to always keep before us as his people. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive into the land of the enemies, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land where we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our hearts and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon hath built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion, on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, and which that which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and to the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and hear and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, to turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess it, all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which hath brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, the blowing of the shofar, for this is Yah's holy day, his Sabbath.
I've been changed. first to say I was one of them, that we only live by grace and just by faith. I was taught to listen to what my pastor say, only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. But now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scripture, telling me that it's all done with. Something that is so simple, something simple like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. It is written that his word don't change. Why do you lie and defy the Holy Scripture? Just to satisfy your desire. And now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scripture, telling me that it's all done with. I've been changed. Ain't no going back to what I used to do, no, no.
Take them back.
guide for me. I'm so grateful.
Followers who say we are followers of his, We want to always keep these things before us, that we're going to give him our all. He is first. We're going to seek his kingdom first. And we're going to fulfill his commandments, the things that he tells us to do. And that's first and foremost, above anything else. All right. I pray that we can hear that, that we keep that always before us as his followers, as his disciples. He must be first. Even before anything that we want, before family, before children, before husband, before wife, the Most High has to be first, and his kingdom has to be first. Or else we cannot be his disciples. We can't even be saved by him. Because to be saved by him, we must start to become like him. And if we can't follow him, how can we become like him? And so I pray that we hear this. Not for the masses. And even the stuff that we are beginning to study in the times of the Gentiles. When I read it in Daniel, and we're going to read these things, it was not given for everybody to understand, even the times of the Gentiles. And we just didn't enter into the times of the Gentiles 2,000 years ago. The times of the Gentiles, as little as is known, is any time that the Gentiles were in control of Jerusalem, in control of the Most High's Holy Land. And so we're going to look into these things so that we can get some understanding. And then the scriptures, you know, Daniel was given some visions, you know, along with Ezekiel and Jeremiah, but mainly Daniel. Daniel is crucial to this because Daniel is given a complete picture of the entire history of man. He's given a, well, stop that. He's given a complete history of the times of the Gentiles. Okay? And so we really need to understand the book of Daniel and the prophecy. And Daniel is given some time frame. And he says he figures out through studying some of the prophecies of Jeremiah concerning the 70 weeks. But he also gives some time frames of when a certain period would start, and we need to understand what that relates to in the times of the Gentiles, okay, and in the prophetic times of when he is going to close up the door to the ark is what we're looking for in this particular study. And as I said, I don't know how many lessons this will be, but it will be as many as are required. And again, as I said, we want these to be documented as far as broadcast goes so that people can download them, as many as the Most High would have to hear them. And for us and for our prosperity, that we can go back and study them and be in tune with the word of the Most High and what he's doing, okay? And as much as that, as he will reveal it to us, I'm not saying he's going to tell us everything. But he, you know, he will reveal some things to us. I know, okay. And so he could, because he's already started revealing things to me that I have not seen before in the scriptures concerning these things. And so, understand, everybody who hears this will not understand it. And it's not your job or my job to make them understand. The only one that gives understanding is the Most High himself. He is the one that gives the increase. But it is up to us to study and show ourselves approved and to be able to tell people so that if the Most High wants them to hear it, they'll hear it from your mouth. And if he wants them to understand it, they'll understand it because of the way that you explained it to them. Okay, and he will give them the understanding. So our foundations of discipleship we have gone over. Let us step into this precept. And this is the times of the Gentiles, okay? And we want to, we don't want to hurry through this, but we want to walk through this slowly but surely and understand that, heck, we may not understand it all. We may have to go before the Most High. There are some things that I read in Daniel that I'm still going before the Most High and asking him because it's so detailed. And I believe that he got, that the Most High came to Daniel as the Son of Man as the Messiah to reveal some things to him. He can't, you know, he sent Gabriel to tell Daniel some things, but then there's some chapters in Daniel that, to me, it sounds like it is Messiah speaking, the Most High speaking to Daniel as the Messiah and revealing some things to him because of the description that is given. And so, but it's very detailed. And so as we walk through this, I'm asking the Most High, because when I was reading it, you know, a lot of it I could equate to other scriptures in Revelations and in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah. But then there were some things that I was like, okay, I don't know where this is relating to. I know that it's in the end times, but I don't know what verses I can relate this to and to get complete understanding. And I'm asking him for revelatory knowledge to reveal it. Because he says a lot of this stuff is sealed up until the times of the end. We are in those times, I truly believe. And if we are in those times, I'm asking the Most High to give us favor and to reveal to us the meaning of these things, that we may have clarity. A lot of it I have, some of it I do not. And so I'm just going to tell you straight up, there's some things that I've read, I'm like, I'm still before the Most High, asking for clarity in those because it is so detailed in the way that it's written. I'm going to have to take them one verse at a time to make sure I'm not reading into or misreading so that I can get clarity out of the scripture, so I can go before the Most High and ask him to reveal this thing so that we are walking before him, because he says he will reveal it to his prophet. He will reveal it to us. Okay, we just have to believe. And if it's that time, then he will reveal it, because he said these things are sealed until the end. They were even sealed from Daniel. Even though a lot was explained to him, there were some things that he was not allowed to reveal because they were sealed until the end time. So we are before the Most High on those things, and if we are in the end times, and if it's meant for us to know, if the Most High wants us to have the understanding, we pray that he gives us the understanding in these things, in these matters. All right. May Brother Miles decrease and may the Most High increase as we go forth in this study. So let's go ahead and jump into this. As we pick this up, we're going to be going to, I want us to go to Luke chapter 21, the book of Luke chapter 21. And we're going to get verses 20 through 24. Luke chapter 21, verses 21 through 24. And let me set up my Bible on this computer. Okay. Going on with my mouth. All right. Luke chapter 21. And we're going to be getting verses 20 through 24. Luke 21, verses 20 through 24. And this is Messiah speaking. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, or surrounded with armies, then know that desolation, the desolation thereof is near. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them not And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck, and in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the sword. They shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so this is what we are, the time frame that we are looking at, the time frame of the times of the Gentiles. Okay, now, the times of the Gentiles, as I said, doesn't really start here in with Messiah's prophecy. but he's giving a clarity to some prophecy that has already been given. And he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, okay? And Jerusalem at this time is still existing as a capital, as a city in the nation of Israel. And so he says, after Jerusalem is torn down, is destroyed, that it will remain under the power of the Gentiles until the end, until the times of the Gentiles is over. And so we know that Jerusalem was destroyed. We know Messiah prophesied that to his disciples that the temple would be torn down stone by stone until every stone was torn down and only the foundation left. So that wall that the wall that they call the Weeping Wall in Jerusalem today, it is not possible that it exists. One, because the temple was torn down to the foundations. There was no wall left up. So what they are weeping at and what they're praying at, I don't know. But Messiah said that it would be torn down and no stone left upon another. That would be the destruction of the temple. There wouldn't be a wall for anybody to go and pray at. There would only be the foundation. Okay, and the Romans did that in 70 AD. The Wailing Wall that they are, you know, that the current day Jews are gathering around and people are going and putting their prayers in, I don't know what that is. And I believe Messiah over what men say. Okay. So the Wailing Wall can't be the old temple as they say it is. And they can't be going there and doing prayers because it should not exist after 70 AD as Messiah predicted himself. But Jerusalem itself, the city being desolate, means that it's absent of the people of the Most High. Not that it's absent of people. The Gentiles would possess Jerusalem. And every time that the Gentiles possess Jerusalem, it is a time of the Gentiles. So this has been on and off through history, starting with Nebuchadnezzar. It's been on and off since the creation of Israel, since the establishment of Israel, and the Most High, you know, setting up his throne and his temple in Israel. That has been, every time Jerusalem was conquered, I want us to understand this, that was, when Jerusalem was conquered, it was the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. But this was an on and off thing, and in the end days, in the end times, Jerusalem would be under control of the Gentiles. Okay, so we have to understand that as one thing. Jerusalem would be under control of the Gentile nation. Okay? Now let's continue. What did Messiah mean when he referred to the times of the Gentiles? When did the times of the Gentiles begin? When will the times of the Gentiles end? These are questions that we need to answer. What events will happen during this period of time when Gentiles conquer Jerusalem? The times of the Gentiles refers to a period of time that began with the destruction of Jerusalem and Solomon's temple by Nebuchadnezzar. See, the temple at Jerusalem wasn't destroyed just one time, and we know this through history. It wasn't destroyed just one time. It was destroyed a couple of times, okay? And every time this temple, you know, Israel was, every time that they were disobedient to the Most High, to the point that the Most High says, I'm going to cast you out of the land. And we got to understand that the Most High has always told Israel, you are a sojourner. You are a visitor in my land. And as long as you do right, I will give the land to you and I will protect you in the land. and you shall be a kingdom of priests to me. But over and over and over again, our forefathers were disobedient to the Most High. So even in the times of Daniel, he makes a prayer to the Most High, and he is talking to the Most High about the disobedience of Israel and how, he's making a prayer for the Most High to intercede and to have mercy on Israel, even in their disobedience. Okay. And so as he's making this prayer, then, the king, Nebuchadnezzar has this prayer. But before this king Nebuchadnezzar, his kingdom was set up by the Most High. Okay. And the Most High gave Nebuchadnezzar a vision, because Nebuchadnezzar went before the Most High and asked, what is going to be the history and the end of all this? And the Most High gives Nebuchadnezzar a dream, but Nebuchadnezzar can't remember the dream. And so he calls all of his wise men and his soothsayers, and even Daniel is amongst, those people. And he said, he tells the people, and we're going to read this, and I'm going to give you an overview. Nebuchadnezzar tells his wise men that, hey, if you can't tell me what my dream was, because I can't remember it, but if I've asked the God of heaven what all this meant, what was the end of all this, and, what were going to be the kingdoms of the world and all this stuff. And I cannot remember the dream. And if you can't tell me what the dream was and you can't interpret it for me, then I know that you're going to lie to me. So I'm not, they kept telling him, tell us what the dream was and we'll tell you the interpretation of it. He says, no, if you truly are wise men and you truly are most, more or less divine, and you get your knowledge from a greater source, then you should be able to tell me what my dream was. And if you can't, I'm going to kill all of y'all. And they said, well, no man can do that. There is not a man alive that can do what you're asking, king. And so he sends out the edict to kill them all. And when the soldier or the guard is coming to kill Daniel, them, because Daniel are in the land and he's part of this group, Daniel goes before the Most High, and he asked the Most High to intervene and to give him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, because he knows that he is the God that controls everything. He is the Elohim that controls everything. And Elohim gives him the dream, and then he tells it back to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar says, okay, your God is God. And then he honors, Daniel and sets Daniel up on high, and Daniel says, okay, also set up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, set them up as well, and they become governors in the land, and Daniel is a governor, or he sits in the king's gate, okay, and he has a direct ear to the king. So this is how we're set up. And then the rest of the book of Daniel are visions that Daniel is given concerning the times of the Gentiles and the times of the end. So it's very important that we read the entire book of Daniel in this study, because these things are revealed to Daniel. And, in order for us to come to a complete understanding of the end times, or in order for the Most High to reveal to us his timing, he's given it in the book of Daniel. And there's certain things that he said are sealed. They're sealed up, and I believe that we are in the end times, so we want to ask the Most High to reveal these things to us. And there are certain, time periods that are given. And so, I'm asking each and every saint that is listening, each and every listener, if you have the Spirit of the Most High, I'm asking you to, ask the Most High to give you understanding. Reveal, because he doesn't have to reveal it just to me. He can reveal it to any of us. And if he gives you understanding and reveals it to you, let it be confirmed by us. Because he says, at the at the mouth of two or three, let everything be established. Okay, so if he gives us a word, if he gives me a word, I want him to reveal it to more than just me, so that we can walk in revelatory knowledge, because everything is not written. Some of these things are sealed, and the Most High has to reveal it. Okay, and this is what we're asking him for. Amen? Okay, let's continue. So we're talking about the times of the Gentiles. And Messiah himself said, the times of the Gentiles will be just, it will be just as it was in the days of Noah in the end. People will be giving in marriage and taking in marriage. They'll be selling and doing everything just like they were in the days of Noah. And then suddenly destruction will come. But we're given some, we're not giving the actual times of the end, but we're giving some, symptoms that we are to look for in the world. And he said these are signs of birth pain, the signs of the end. But he said the end is not yet. So when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and all these things, pestilence, that these are signs of the end. These are like a woman in labor about to deliver her child. But it's not time for the child to be delivered yet. It was like the beginning of her labor pain. Okay, so we want to look into these things so that we can get an understanding. And this is what this precept and series of precepts is all about, so that we can tell those whom which the Most High wants to be told. Okay, and so that we can have understanding. So we're going to be asking the questions, when did the times of the Gentiles begin? When will they end? What events will happen during this period when the Gentiles conquered Jerusalem? The time of the Gentile refers to a period of time that began with the destruction of Jerusalem and Solomon's temple by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in 580. Now, dates are going to become critical in this study. Why? Because we're going to be given some prophecy, and it's telling us that certain of this prophecy starts at the beginning of a commandment that is given, okay? And we have to figure out which king gave this commandment and when he gave this command, because then we're supposed to count out. It says in days, but we know that in scriptures, a day to the Most High can be as 1,000 years, or one day can represent a year prophetically. And so we want to look at these things, you know, and go before the Most High, as I said, in prayer. But we're going to have some start dates in order to even start, you know, trying to figure out when certain prophecies were fulfilled, especially in the end time. Now, we can take all these same dates, and we're given and shown when Messiah would come on the scene, when he would be born, when he would be crucified, by these same dates. So we'll know that these dates are correct, okay? And we can then project from these dates into the future and get a date as to when certain things were supposed to happen. So we know that the time is not, that's going to be, I think we're given the date to the start of the birth pain, okay? And then there may even be a a pause in the time. And what do I mean by that? Meaning that certain things are going to be fulfilled, and then there's going to be a pause in time. Time is going to go on for us, but there's a pause in the prophetic time of the Most High, and then another event happens that's related to it. And that time starts up again, such as, you know, Messiah being cut off in the middle of the week and then finishing the rest of his ministry when he returns. That's a pause in the time. So he does these things, then there's a pause, and, you know, years go by and prophecy is fulfilled, and then the second part of this prophecy is fulfilled in Messiah, those type of pauses. So we want to, you know, have the Most High to make these things clear to us, to make them clear, okay, so that we can come to a time where we can say, okay, we can see these signs. We know that the time is near. We know that the time of Jacob's trouble is about to happen, that it lights a fire up under us to do the things that are necessary, that we do it with conviction and clarity, that we do it, you know, with conviction, okay, and with clarity so that we don't hesitate. We don't, you know, lose hope, or we don't, you know, think that, we could be wrong or anything like that, okay? So let's continue. So we want to answer, when did the times of the Gentiles begin? And we know that it began with the destruction of Solomon's temple. We know that Nebuchadnezzar came in, and the Assyrian king came in and destroyed the temple. They inherited Jerusalem, or they controlled Jerusalem. And that was Gentiles controlling the land of the Most High, after the Most High had reestablished the land. Okay. So after, you know, the Jerusalem and the Promised Land has always belonged to the Most High, but the Gentiles have, before the Most High established Israel, the Gentiles were in control, and the Most High established the nation of Israel to go in and clean up the land and establish his temple in the land, this place that he would put his name. Okay, so anytime control of that land was lost, it would be considered to be a time of the Gentiles. Okay, and prophecy concerning the times of the Gentiles, those times would be included in that. I pray we can understand that. Okay, so it's going to be an on and off thing. Okay. Let's continue. The times of the Gentiles include the destruction of Jerusalem and the second temple by Titus, the Roman. So Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians did it in 586. And then we have the second temple being destroyed the second time by Titus and the Romans in 70 AD. The times of the Gentiles also include a future time during the last half of the tribulation period, when Jerusalem will be surrounded and conquered by a Gentile army. So let's go to Zechariah chapter 12. The book of Zechariah chapter 12, and let's get verse 3. These are, and you might want to write down these scriptures, okay, for your own study. The book of Zechariah chapter 3. I mean, chapter 12, and let's get verse 3. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3. And the word of the Most High reads, "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. So all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." So there's going to come a time in the future, Zechariah is prophesying this, that Jerusalem is going to be a burdensome stone to all people. This is going to be a problem area. And it already is. A lot of the things that we hear about in the Middle East is all centered around where? Jerusalem. Okay? And it doesn't matter, you know, it's going to be where the Gentiles are in control, because the Gentiles are supposed to be in control of Jerusalem until the times that the Gentiles are over. And he says, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces. So all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And so there's going to be a time when in the future that all the world will come against Jerusalem. And we read that in Revelation chapter 20, okay? And we're not going to read the rest of this prophecy, because he talks about how he's going to smite every horse. Everything that is alive is going to die in relation to this, okay? Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2. The book of Zechariah, chapter 14 and verse 2. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So there's coming a time that the Most High will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Okay. And the women who are in Jerusalem, you know, there's going to be a time of rape and pillage. It's a, you know, a time where the world is coming against Jerusalem, and whoever's there, it's not going to be a good thing. Go to Matthew chapter 24, the book of Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to get verses 15. through 31. Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 through 31. These are the prophecies dealing with Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 24, in verses 15 through 31. And the word of the Most High reads, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. So when those that are in Judea, in Jerusalem, see this, whoever is there, whether it's Jew or Gentile, whoever's in Jerusalem, when they see this happening and the abomination of desolation being set up, and so the temple has to exist at this time. And we know that it says that Jerusalem would be rebuilt, and I have to go get that scripture for one of our studies. Jerusalem shall be rebuilt by the Gentiles. See, Israel believes that Israel is supposed to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. But I found a scripture that says that the Gentiles would do it, and that it would come up under destruction. Okay, and so this is what we're reading. Let's continue. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And let's continue reading. Verse 19. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, in winter, if you're fleeing during the winter and you're trying to hide, then you know, even in Jerusalem, it gets cold in the winter. But if you are anywhere else in the world, in this same hemisphere or north of the equator or too far south of the equator, and you're trying to run and it's wintertime and you're being pursued by the Antichrist and his army, or you're being pursued by, in this case, the Roman Empire, then it's not going to go easy for you. You could very well die of the elements. You know, you die from cold faster than you die from heat. And when it's hot, you can always take off, what, more clothes? But when it's cold, you can't really put on enough. Neither on the Sabbath day. Now, you are not to allow to run, and you, even during this time of trials and tribulation, whether it was in 70 AD or it's in the future, you're not allowed to run on the Sabbath. You're not allowed to flee. You have to still honor the Most High Sabbath. And so you're not allowed to flee on those days, which means that the world won't honor that, but you have to honor it. So if the enemy is about to come in on you, and it's the Sabbath day or they're getting close to you, you have to rely on the Most High for protection. You have to rely that he's going to keep you safe because you have to honor him. And you can't flee on the Sabbath. That's why he says, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath, because then if you run on the Sabbath day, you're going to be dishonoring the Most High, okay, on his day. And we're to keep this no matter what. You know, and I know men will say, hey, it's okay to run on the Sabbath day. It's okay to flee for your life and dishonor the Most High to save your own life. The Most High says, he that loves his life will lose it. He that tries to save his life will lose it. But he that gives his life for the Most High, for Messiah's sake, still gain it. Meaning you got to put your trust in Messiah and the Most High. Even during these times, these perilous times that came in 70 AD and will come again, you got to put your faith in the Most High. Okay, and honor him on this day. Wherever you're at, stop. Do what he said to do. That means you really got to, you know, on the preparation day, you got to prepare your meals for the Sabbath day and that Friday evening and that Saturday. And you can't run again or prepare to run again until what? Sabbath is over. The enemy, not observing the Sabbath, may come in on you. But you pray that the Most High will keep you safe because you're honoring him. But if he calls for your life, then you know that you give your life gladly for your Elohim, for your Messiah. Okay? Let his will be done. All right, let's continue. And what verse are we in? Let's go to verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Now, we know that this is not referring to 70 AD, when Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. So this has to be referring to a future day, because it's not supposed to be any worse time than this, than ever was in the world, nor shall ever be. So if 70 AD was as bad as it's going to get, what we have to look forward to is, you know, really nothing. When I say by nothing, it's not going to be that bad, because the worst would have already happened. But he's telling us that this time that's coming, there's not going to be a time worse than this, nor shall ever be after this. So we're going to see a great persecution. We're going to see a lot of loss of life. This is talking about a future time, a lot of loss of life. Okay. Let's continue. And except those days should be short, there should be no flesh be saved before the elect's sake. The elect is those that are elected by the Most High, those that are chosen by the Most High. Those that are called by him and chosen, they are elected by the Most High. They become Israel, and it's going to be the remnant, some of the remnant of Israel and some of the Gentile saints. It's not just Israel. By the blood, by the flesh. Because the Most High is remaking Israel. He's remaking a new man. And he's keeping his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to save a remnant. I told you I would save in your seed. I would save some. But they're not all going to be obedient. So I'm not saving them all. And in Messiah, I'm taking the two. The remnant of Israel and those Gentiles that will obey. And I'm making one new man. Those Gentiles that accept Messiah and truly accept him and keep his commandments. Because so you got a lot of people that say they accept Messiah, but they don't keep his commandments. They don't believe they got to keep the law. And he's going to say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I knew you not. They don't believe that they're working iniquity. They don't believe that they're being lawless. But by their very profession, we are not up under the law. We don't have to keep the law. They are workers of iniquity. And so you got to understand that, okay? So this is who Messiah is making into Israel, into his body. And so because we are Hebrew by birth and by blood, don't really mean a damn thing if we don't accept Messiah and accept his plan of salvation. We shall not be citizens in his kingdom, and we don't want to just believe that we have the Ruach HaKodesh, but we want to know that we are receivers of his spirit and that we have been adopted by him, that we have become the elect. Because it's for the elect's sake that these days will be cut short. So much power within will the Antichrist be given that he's going to even kill some of the saints. And, you know, we got too many doctrines out there today in the church that, you know, the saints are going to escape this time, that the church is going to escape this time. And then Israel is saying, oh, we're going to escape this time and we're going to be taken into the wilderness. That's not as what is saying in the scriptures. Said that the Antichrist would have power even over the very elect of the Most High. So our faith has to be in the Most High. And even if we have to die, we have to keep our faith in the Most High, that he's going to resurrect us. And especially if we are killed for his testimony, for the word of Elohim and his testimony of Messiah. If we're killed for that reason, he says, then we're going to inherit a crown, not just a crown of life, but even a throne to reign with him, because we would have given our life for him. Okay, we will have suffered with him. So all these things work together in his plan. But the elect don't escape. Okay, and if these days were not cut short, even the very elect would be wiped out. So the Most High steps in. This is how terrible these days are going to be. And we have to understand that. So don't expect that you're going to have, you know, an easy ride. It's going to be easy street for you because you're a believer. Don't think that it is going to be an easy ride for you because you have the Spirit of the Most High and you're the elect. Let's read verse 22 again. And except those days should be shortened, cut short, there should be no flesh saved. And the Most High is not worried about the unsaved. He's not worried about the wicked. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. For his people, for those that he selects, any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, here is Mashiach, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If you don't have the Spirit of the Most High telling you, that's me, that's not me, you will fall for especially the Antichrist, because he's going to be showing wonders in the heavens. And on the earth, he's going to be professing that he is God, that he is Elohim, with signs following. And if the true Elohim does not reveal it to you, if you're not his, you're going to be deceived. If you're not part of the elect, you will be deceived. Know this, it is written. It is written. So know that. That's why it's important that we have a true relationship with the Most High. That's why it's important that we have his Ruach HaKodesh, his spirit, and that we walk in his ways and that we are obedient. Because even with all that, when the Antichrist comes, so great will be the deception that he might even be able to fool you or me if we don't stay, keep our eyes focused on the Most High. Okay. So this is what the Messiah is telling us. We have to be vigilant. We have to be knowledgeable. We have to be studious. We have to be focused on him. He has to be first. Listen, look at what he says next to his disciples. Behold, I have told you before. Okay. Now, we've been warned. So let's read verse 24 again. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall grow and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's how great these signs are. And the only way you're not going to be deceived is that you truly have the Spirit of the Most High, and that his Spirit is telling you, that's not me. The Spirit testifies of itself. That is me. That is not me. Without that, you will be deceived. Understand and hear what the Spirit says. Without the Spirit of the Most High, you will be deceived. I don't care how you know what you may think of yourself. It's not you. It is the Spirit of the Most High within you. And if you don't have his Spirit, then you will be deceived. And you will take the mark. And you will do all these things that you know not to do. And you'll do it out of fear because you'll be relying on your own strength. And you'll see that you have no strength against Antichrist. And so you'll try to save your life. I pray in here that we can understand it and what Messiah is saying to us. Let's continue. We were in verse 25. Let's go to verse 26. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 2. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not. There's going to be people who in the last days, and people are going to be looking for Messiah. So terrible are going to be the things. They're going to be looking for Messiah. They're going to be looking for a Messiah. And people are going to say, oh, he's over here. And a lot of people are going to run over there. They're going to say, no, he's over here. And a lot of people are going to run over here. He says, if they say he's in the desert, don't believe. If they say he's in the secret chambers, don't believe it. Because he tells us in the scriptures what the sign of his coming is. And if we have understanding, then we know what to look for. If we don't have understanding, then we're going to believe these things. Because we are going to be desperate and we're going to want for Messiah to come because it's so terrible. He says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shine even unto the west, shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, not before the tribulation of those days, but after the tribulations of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So all those listeners, let me see how many people, if anybody got disconnected. All right. I should be back on, and you should be fine. Okay. So let's continue. Talking about the coming of the Son of Man. We're talking about the great tribulation. And we're in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Where are you going to see this at? In the heavens. Okay? You don't look for him. You don't look for him and his coming on the earth. He's not going to be in some secret chamber. He's not going to be born of a woman. He's not going to be in the desert. You're going to see him coming in the sky. Okay? That's why he says, if they say he's over here, don't believe it. If they say he's over there, don't believe it. Why? Because he's going to be coming in the sky, and the only thing you're going to see, you're not going to see the sun. It's going to be dark. The moon won't give her light because the sun is dark. And the stars won't give their light. The only light you're going to see is the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of Messiah in the sky. Then you know that it's him. I pray we hear this, okay? Verse 30 again. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. This is what the Feast of Trumpets is all about. He first came to Israel, and it's the announcement of his arrival was the trumpet sounding long and hard. And it got louder and louder until all of Israel feared. They didn't want to go talk to him. Even Moses got afraid. Okay, and it's going to be the way he's going to come again, with this loud trumpet getting louder and louder, announcing the arrival of the Most High. It says, if they tell you that he's in the desert, don't believe it. They tell you he's in the secret places, don't believe it. But if you don't have the Spirit, you hear these scriptures, but you won't obey them. You won't obey them. Okay? And it's not that you can't hear them, but you don't understand it. You won't find him on the earth when he comes back. He's going to come back in the clouds. That's your sign. And if you look at anywhere else, it's because the Spirit of the Most High is not in you, and you cannot hear this. You cannot believe it. And when the tribulation actually really comes and happens, you're going to be in such fear for your life that you will believe anything and everything. You'll believe the okey-doke. Because your faith will be in your own self and how you can save yourself. So I pray we can hear this, okay? Let's continue. And did we read verse 31? Let me make sure. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Okay, now this is after great tribulation. Are you going to be gathered? Okay. But he's also, there's going to have something happen here before then that's going to gather the wicked out. So you have to survive this time. Okay? You have to have survived this time in order to see this. If you've gone to your grave, as long as you've gone to your grave and you've been believing in Messiah and you died for the word of Elohim and for the testimony of Mashiach, then you know that he's going to raise you back up. Immediately, you'll make the first resurrection because you will have suffered with him. If you went to your grave and you didn't give your life for the word of Elohim or for the testimony of Mashiach, It's not why you died. You died a natural life, a natural death. Then you get up in the second resurrection. So he says you have to have suffered with him. And maybe you suffered with him in your life. Maybe you were killed because you were testifying. Maybe you were killed because you were preaching the truth and the tribulation hadn't come yet. Then you'll still get up in the first resurrection. Okay. But he's going to gather all his when he comes. That's why, you know, Hebrews talking about going back to the land. We're not supposed to go back to the land until he gathers us. He's going to gather us. Okay. Let's continue. Let us go now to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. The book of Revelation, chapter 11. Still talking about the times of the Gentiles, because all this will happen during the times of the Gentiles. And there, the times of the Gentiles will not come to an end until Messiah returns. But we just read about the end of the times of the Gentiles. Revelation chapter 11. And we're going to be getting verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Most High reads, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of Elohim, the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out." So the measurements that we have in this book of, I think it was 12,000 furlongs by 12,000 furlongs, is only the temple area. It is not the outer court. "The court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." So this is specific to the end time, okay? And he said, now, the measurement of the temple is one thing, but the measurement of the outer court don't measure. It is given to the Gentiles, okay? And it's going to be a measurement of time. Let's go to, well, we'll end up going back to Zechariah chapter 14 in just a second. This times of the Gentiles will end with the second coming of Messiah, who will defeat the Gentile armies led by the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon and deliver the Jewish remnant in Jerusalem. Go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And we're going to be getting verses 3 through 9. Let's just get verses 1 through 9. Zechariah 14, verses 1 through 9. "Behold, the day of Yah cometh." Now, this is the day of Yah. And we got to always understand that the Most High says, "I have appointed a day that I will judge all men. That I'm going to come and take out my vengeance." Okay? This is his day. "Behold, the day of Yah cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yah go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." Now, where is Messiah going to touch down at when we see him coming in the clouds? Just like he departed from the Mount of Olives, he's going to return to the Mount of Olives. But just like when he showed himself at Mount Sinai to Israel, well, they didn't see him, but they saw his presence in the thick, dark cloud and the mountains melted. This time, when his foot touches down on the Mount of Olives, it's going to split. Half of it's going to go north and south, and it's going to split again, and that those two halves are going to split and go east and west. And it's going to create a valley for his people that are there to run into. You know, they're saying, oh, they're going to run to Petra, which is 100 miles south of Jerusalem. That's not what the scripture says. Okay? Scripture says something different. All right? Let's continue in the word. And his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave, shall split in the midst, in the middle thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So if you look at that vision, a vision of Messiah's feet coming down and touching on the Mount of Olives, it split east and west in half. Then those two halves that split east and west are going to split again. Half of them going north and half of it going south. Okay? And this is going to be announcing his arrival and that the day of Yah has started. He's coming in judgment. And he's coming against the wicked. And he's coming to gather his saints. Okay. This is all still, this is the end of the times of the Gentiles. Okay, because they've been in control. Now he's taking back control of what? Jerusalem. Let's continue. Verse 5. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountain. He didn't say flee to Petra. Petra already exists, okay? That's why I say people, you got to be careful what you listen to on the History Channel or, you know, on programs about the Bible. Because men are giving their opinions, and their opinions are contrary to Scripture. They teach that men will flee into Petra. Petra already exists in a valley. And it was built by the Muslims out of stone, out of the, you know, right into the rock. So if you go online and you Google Petra in Israel, you'll see this marvelous city that is hard to attack because it's built right into the walls of this valley, into stone, solid rock. But that's not what the Most High we just read. He didn't say flee into Petra. But this is what they will teach you on the History Channel or in religious study. Okay, understand that's not what the word of the Most High says. His Messiah is going to, his foot is going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split eastward and then north and south. And everybody that's in that area, both that is a believer, that believes in Messiah, is supposed to run, who is a Hebrew Israelite, a Jew, supposed to run into this valley. Okay? Let's continue. Verse 5 again. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yah, my Elohim, shall come. Who's coming? Yah, my Elohim, and all the saints with thee. Who is Messiah? Yah, Elohim. And he's coming with all the saints. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. There's going to be a day that is not night or dark. It's like twilight or dusk. But it shall be one day which shall be known to Yah, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass. Because remember, he already prophesied that the sun would be darkened, and the moon would not give its light, and the stars wouldn't give their light. The only light is going to be from the light of Messiah. And it's not going to be day or night. It's going to be different. And so you got to understand this. You got to be able to hear it. Let's continue. But it shall be one day which shall be known to Yah, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. It's not going to get dark. And it shall be in that day that the living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be. Now these are going to be when he established. Now this is going to a future time when he establishes his throne in the earth. There's going to be a river that flows from his throne. And the Dead Sea is going to be brought back to life. And all the people, because without reading it, let me sort of explain this for lack of time, and we'll read it. We read it before, but we'll read it another time. Now, remember, the Most High is going to kill all life in the sea. The seas are going to become dead, okay? All life in the sea is going to die off, but he's going to cause all the fish to be brought back to life and to respawn in the Dead Sea and in the Mediterranean. And that's where people will go to fish. They won't be able to fish all around the world. But we'll read those scriptures another time. Just they're alive because of this river flowing from the throne of the Most High. So the nation's going to have to come to him. And the fish that are the feeding of the world is going to come from that region. Okay? Let's continue. And like I said, we're not in a hurry. I don't know how many of these parts there will be, but we got a lot to cover. And we're just, you know, we're going to cover each of the nations, each of the kingdoms that come to power. In this study, we're going to study each of the kingdoms that come to power and have power over Jerusalem. And then we're going to, you know, because this is all tied to the vision that was given to Nebuchadnezzar of the metallic statue with the head of gold and the shoulders and the midriff or the ribs of silver. And the stomach and the thighs of bronze, and then the legs of iron, and then the feet mixed with iron and clay. That is a prophetic vision of the times of the Gentiles. Those are all Gentile nations that are in that vision. And so we will be dealing with that, each one of them, because part of prophecy of the end times are given by those kings. It's given to those kings by the Most High and to Daniel during that time. So it's important that we take our time and walk through these so that we understand. You know, we have somewhat of an understanding of who these nations were. But then in the end time, especially the kingdom that is part iron and part clay, when the Most High says he's going to establish, he's going to use that kingdom to bring down this whole system of the Gentiles ruling the world, that his kingdom would be established forever after that. And that will be the times of that will be the end of the times of the Gentiles, because the Gentiles have ruled this world almost since the beginning. Almost. After the Most High scattered them at the Tower of Babel, the Gentiles have ruled. Okay. And when the Most High establishes kingdom in the earth, as far as bringing salvation and, you know, making a last offer to mankind to get into his kingdom, establishing his priesthood, the Gentiles have ruled Jerusalem on and off. Okay? And so that is the times of the Gentiles. So we're going to look at each one of these nations, each one of these kingdoms, and we're going to look at the last kingdom in depth, in detail, because this is what was told to Daniel, and this is what was told to Nebuchadnezzar, and this is what where we have to find our answers at, okay? So we're going to be taking our time in these areas and not, you know, rushing forward, because it's that critical to us, the times of the Gentiles. Let's continue. And we are in Zechariah 14, and we were supposed to read down through verse 9. So let's read verse 9. And Yah shall be king over all the earth. This is the establishment of his kingdom. This is the Messiah taking the throne. This is the day of the Lord, the day of Yah, coming to an end, and the times of the Gentiles coming to an end, when the Most High judges all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Yah, and his name one. There ain't going to be all these other gods. That's why I said the Most High. If we look at Yahshua, same as our Messiah's name, when he's bringing the nation of Israel into the promised land, the Most High gives him a command. Go into all these nations, tear down their false altars, tear down, destroy their false gods, destroy them out of the land. Kill all those people who are worshiping these false gods. Get them out of my land. Now, when the Most High comes and establishes his throne in the earth, he shall be over all the earth. He's going to destroy all false religions out of the earth. And the only God who people will talk about or supposed to be talking about is him. Not every other god. Not Buddha or Molech or Satan or any other thing that being that people worship. Not Easter, not Asherah, not Esther. Not any false god, only the Most High. Messiah is going to destroy all of these false religions, going to tear down all these false altars. And the only Elohim that they're going to worship is the Most High. That's the only name they're going to know is his name. And Yah shall be king over all the earth in that day. This is the end of the times of the Gentiles. It's the beginning of the rulership of the Most High over the affairs of men. Physically on this earth. And there shall be one Yah. We are told that there's only one. And man is going to know there's only one. And his name, one. That's going to be at the end of the times of the Gentiles. So this statute, when we start on this evening, we'll start to get into this stuff. We'll continue. This has been an overview. We'll start to get into this stuff. We'll get into Daniel's vision. And we'll, you know, the vision that the Most High gave first, he didn't give it first to Israel, he gave it first to a Gentile king for the times of the Gentiles. and all the Gentile kingdom that would rule the earth and rule Jerusalem. And in the last kingdom, there's going to be 10 kings, really a total of 11 kings. One of them is going to uproot three of them. And he's going to be the 11th king, but he's going to get rid of three kings. We're going to look at all these things because all these things happen during the time of the Gentiles, and we have to be aware of it. We have to look at the world scene, and we have to know who to be looking at, and I think we've been pointed in the wrong direction. But Yah has to reveal it, and I'm going to wait and yet Yah reveal it. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. As we read in our reading in the book of Daniel, understand that what the Most High has been telling us in the previous month has been leading to this. And that when he's talking about, if Messiah said it was not given to the masses to understand. Don't read it again in the book of Daniel. It's not given to the masses to understand. It's not given to the wicked to understand what's going to be happening. So fear Yah and keep his commandments. Stay dedicated and devoted to the Most High. Fear him. Obey his voice with your whole heart, with everything that you have. And until we meet again, may Yah bless you and keep you. See you on this evening. Shalom, saints. Have a blessed rest of your day. Get the prescribed rest. Spend some time with the Most High. And as we walk through this series, understand we're going to take our time and we're not going to rush through this series, but we're going to take it step by step because the proof is in the detail, and we need to get very detailed in this study that Yah might reveal his arm to us. Shalom.
Goodbye. vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you?
Happy Sabbath, Mary. Sister Mary and everybody that's listening.
All right, shalom, my sisters, and Brother
shalom.
Gary and whoever else listening on the broadcast on the website. Have a happy Sabbath, and Yah bless you. Go spend some time with the Most High.
Yeah. Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.